Welcome once again to worship. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is present with each one of us through the Holy Spirit of God. We have been blessed with a really busy week in our community outreach. The weather has been great. Once again, we thank Margaret, Caroline and Michael for their assistance. But even better, we are being blessed in our fellowship and outreach with more and more people getting involved in conversations about what we're doing and, more importantly, why we're doing it. Saturday was Michelle's birthday. She was working when I dropped off a card at her house. Thursday is Kathy's birthday, so a huge happy birthday to Kathy. Yet another cake, I hope. Well, we now prepare to worship the Lord, and during this service we will share in the Lord's Supper. So I'll remind you to have the order of service to hand. I invite you to sit quietly for a moment and just think about your spiritual journey over the past week. And just lay before the Lord how you are feeling as we enter into worship. Be ready now to give the Lord your full attention as we praise and worship him. So let's come together in one spirit to sharing God's love as we pray. Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Be our sweet agreement at the meeting of our eyes. O Jesus, we love you. So we gather here. Join our hearts in unity and take away our fear. Amen. So let's sing, Jesus, Stand Among Us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist writes, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. And in Matthew's Gospel, we read that Jesus said to Peter, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." You know, our God is a powerful God who does things the way beyond our understanding. But we have no need to fear, for we know we are safe in God's presence. Let us come now to our powerful God in prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, loving Lord, that you have been holding on to us all through this past week. Sometimes life following you can be difficult. We encounter so many dilemmas and we struggle so much, wishing it all could be easier. We so want to trust you and learn of your plans for us. Help us to let go of all that distracts us and turn our hearts and minds to you again. Help us just to relax into your presence, to clearly hear your word and be prepared to act on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, life following Jesus can be difficult at times. It's at such times when we might well find ourselves saying, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer." Let's sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." So today we continue our theme, Living Lives of Faith. Sometimes as we go through this life, our faith is severely tested by events both personal to us and on the wider world stage. It's at such times that we need to be reminded to live lives of faith. It's at such times when we have to understand that everything depends only on God's steadfast love. Today we shall be hearing words from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. This letter was written to Christians facing great hardship. Paul, who obviously knows them well, urges them to persist in their faith. He reminds them that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You know, Paul is reminding his leaders that despite whatever's going on in their lives, they should have faith in God. He reminds them if they have faith and live that faith, they will be saved for eternity. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, we will see how Jesus walked on water and then called Peter to do the same. Peter stepped off the boat in faith, but then he just doesn't have enough faith and so has to be rescued by Jesus. This is so true of many people today. Their faith fails them at a critical point. But, as he did with Peter, Jesus is always there, ready and willing and able to save us. So today we shall have as our theme, stepping out in faith. Well, we may not literally have to walk on water, but often the difficulties we face are just as perilous. And the answer is the same. Have faith. Live lives of faith. Step out in faith. Let us pray. As we approach you today, Lord, we probably feel pretty much like Peter, full of bravado to begin with, but then just not quite so certain of ourselves. We come to you, Jesus, trusting that even if we feel ourselves beginning to sink under the pressures we face, we know that you're there still holding us up. Please reassure us that you won't let go, no matter how we feel. Help us to cast care aside and know that your boundless mercy will provide. For you alone, Lord, are the way forward for us all. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Let's sing Fight the Good Fight. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that the world is in chaos. In almost every country, there is distrust and anger towards the ruling authorities. We're not immune from this in our own country. So much arguing going on over how the government is handling, or should I say not handling, the illegal migrant crisis. And of course, there are just so many other issues that Andy Burnham is being challenged over. Even football is not immune from controversy, as the FIFA chief is under attack for a sell-off plan for the World Cup, and countries are saying that they will be boycotting the World Cup. Well, they have got a few years to sort it out before the next World Cup. You know, so often those who take on ruling of country or an organisation allow vested interest to sway their governance of the people they are elected to govern, and so leave themselves open to enormous criticism. But what do these rulers expect? For we read in Psalm 33, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength." Well, the psalmist makes it perfectly clear that it's only when we are ruled by God and live lives of faith will we be at peace with each other. Let's pray. Lord, we wait in hope for you. You are our help and our shield. In you our hearts rejoice, for we trust in your holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us. O Lord, we put our hope in you. Lord, we're all on the journey of faith, and we pray for your guiding light, for the way ahead is often murky, and we cannot go by what we see with our own eyes. We have all set out on this journey of faith, Lord, and we pray for your steadying hand. We will trust in your promises and always praise your holy name. Lord, we praise you that you more than meet all our needs. You call us out from our security to experience your adventures and blessings. And you'll always be with us as we step out in faith. Lord, for your faithfulness to us, even when we ourselves lack faith in you, we praise you, and most of all, we thank you, Lord. And Lord, we are sorry for the times we take our eyes off you and seek to do things in our own strength. We're sorry for the times we doubt that you can keep us on the straight and narrow. We're sorry for the times we ask for your signs. Lord, we pray that you will forgive our doubts and hesitations. Show us your loving presence, especially when we most need it, and teach us to trust you at all times and to live lives of faith. Lord, your apostle Paul wrote that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for being there as we step out in faith every new day. Amen. So let's sing, "Thank You for Saving Me."
Vanessa is going to sing the second verse to us. Is the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, we come before you to pray for all those people from whom taking risks is a way of life. We pray especially at this time for our emergency services, for paramedics, nurses and doctors, the police, the fire service, all who daily face difficult situations, as they help to protect us and make our world a safer and more peaceful place. And Lord, we pray especially at this time for all who are having to deal with wildfires. We continue to pray for all people that have lost their lives, their livelihoods, their homes in wildfires. We pray for places where drought has devastated crops and where animals are dying. We pray for our farmers and all who work on the land. Lord, in our divided world, we once again pray for unity. Unity among families, among communities, among nations. We pray for peace in the Middle East, in Ukraine, and ask your blessing on all the volatile places in this world, places where those who speak truth are silenced, and for those who are killed and injured going about their daily lives. Lord, may those who live in fear cling on to hope, and may we all work together for a safer world. Lord, we pray for people who take risks in your name, those who take your word where it's most needed, and for people who grapple with faith and doubt. Lord, once again we pray for revival. And Lord, we pray for those who have been victims of crime, those who feel justice hasn't been served and their voice is not heard. Pray for those in prison, for prison chaplains, and all who seek to help offenders turn their lives around. We pray for those entrusted with the responsibility of sentencing and releasing those who have committed crimes. We pray for families of victims whose killers have never been brought to justice. Lord, we continue to pray for the leaders of the nations as they work to find a way forward for the people they represent. And we pray especially at this time for our own government. Pray for all who are ill or suffering at this time, and all who care for their loved ones. Lord, we hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know, as we bring the names from our hearts. Lord, let there be rest for the weary. Let there be healing for the sick. Let there be comfort for the bereaved. Let there be faith for the unbelievers. We ask our prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, Let Your Living Water.
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens unto you.
Jesus, 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 sing.
Jesus, let him fill your soul. Let him take you in his arms and make you whole. As you give your life to him, he'll set you free. You will live and reign with him eternally.
So once again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord. August has started well in terms of income from the community outreach. But as I said, we've all been very busy and at times it's very hard work. So once again, we thank the Lord for a provision to enable us to continue with the work he's led us to do. And I want to thank all of you who continue with your tithing, and a special thanks to those who made generous donations to the work we do here, both in terms of money and the donations of items for us to sell in the charity shop. And I especially want to thank those of you who are tithing your time by helping run our community outreach. It's a lot of time and commitment, and so thank you. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. May these offerings help us to continue our outreach in the community as we seek to bring more and more people to live lives of faith. Amen. So we're now going to be sharing in the Lord's Supper. So we turn to the order of service as we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful. These you deserve, for when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Let's say together, Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty, our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. The Lord Jesus, among friends, gathered round a table on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now share the bread and the wine. The body of Christ keep you in God's love for eternity. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. So let us now say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. No longer is what we have been important. It is what, with you, we can be, starting now. Amen. Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, whose wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way, with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Let's sing, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you.
So last week we began a new theme, Living Lives of Faith, and we explored how we must use well all the resources that God has provided each of us. And we do this to grow the kingdom of God. And this week we shall be exploring how so often this requires that we simply step out in faith. Faith is about living with uncertainty, which is very much against our human nature. We do so much like to be in control. But having a true faith in God gives us the courage to follow what God has planned for us. Remember the words of God through the psalmist. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. We so often struggle with our faith. And now in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, we see that even the faith of Jesus' closest disciple, Peter, is seen to be lacking. It's a story that encourages ordinary Christians, as it confirms that the 12, despite their proximity to Jesus for 3 years, still struggled with their faith. Here is Peter, who, along with the others, has seen Jesus produce a meal for 5,000 out of a packed lunch, and yet seems to find faith in a struggle. It may seem at first sight that Jesus then chastises Peter, but in reality, it's more about Jesus recognizing the frail material he has to work with. And of course, that includes you and me. And this can be a very scary thing. But Jesus tells us not to be afraid, for he says, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Let's hear now from Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" This was Peter that Jesus was speaking to, one of his closest disciples. And yet even Peter doesn't seem to have taken on board just who Jesus really is. Okay, he is prepared to do as Jesus asks and steps out in faith. But this is where his faith stopped. This is the same problem that the Apostle Paul sees in his fellow Jews. We saw last week how Paul was so upset that so many Jews failed to see Jesus for who he really was. After all, Paul has seen Jesus as the demonstration of God's faithfulness to his promise to Abraham. So why can't his fellow Jews, who know the scriptures and are descendants of Abraham, also see it? The Gentiles are responsive, but by and large, the Jews aren't. Let's hear now from Romans chapter 10.
The reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the deep?' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart.' That is, the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord,' and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scriptures says, 'Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen."
You know, in order to have faith in anything, we first need to know about it. So perhaps we have faith in God because we were told about it, or maybe because we've seen God in action in our lives, or in other people's lives. But what the Apostle Paul is so concerned about is those people, especially the very descendants of Abraham, who have heard that Jesus is the Messiah, even seen him in action, but have, by and large, failed to take that leap of faith and believe. Well, we're faced with a similar situation today. Many people have heard the message of the gospel, but have failed to believe. There is, however, still hope for them. For as Paul says, God is constantly reaching out to them. Then we have many people who just haven't heard about Jesus. Even more so today, as young people are being deprived of the gospel at home and at school. But worst of all are those who believe, but lack enough faith to live lives of faith. And this is where we turn to the account of Jesus walking on the water. This week's gospel reading from Matthew mirrors many experiences in our lives. Like Peter, there have probably been many occasions when we've had to step out in faith, and faith alone. I doubt any of us have actually been asked to walk on water, but so many of the situations we find ourselves in are similar. Our faith is being tested all the time. God is calling each of us to step out in faith in so many situations. But in particular, when it comes to bringing others to faith. You may remember that last week we explored how we should use our resources to reach as many people as we can with the good news of Jesus, and that no matter how small our resources are, God will use them in a mighty way. But for so many people, using their resources to bring others to faith is something they would prefer to leave to ministers and evangelists. I suppose you could say people trained for the job. But this work is for everyone. And God is there to help us all with this work. Well, I want to bring two very important things to you today that come out of today's gospel. First is our need to spend more time with the Lord. And secondly, that we each have to step out in faith to do the Lord's work. It's important to remember that this account in the Gospel happens just after Jesus hears the awful news of John the Baptist's murder. And as we saw last week, Jesus withdrew by boat to a private and solitary place. This, of course, was interrupted by the crowds who followed him. And as we saw, Jesus did end up healing people and, best of all, feeding over 5,000 of them. Now, once again, Jesus tries to find a solitary place. He dismisses the crowds and sends the disciples on ahead in the boat. Jesus' desire to be alone with his Heavenly Father is a reaction we may be familiar with when something terrible happens to us. Jesus was seeking time alone with his Father for comfort and reassurance, and so should we. So as the disciples are trying to sail their boat through the rough waters, Jesus is again on the mountain, trying to have some quiet time alone with God. It seems from all that we read last week and in this week's Gospel that Jesus is really finding it hard to make space for reflection and prayer. I'm sure with the busy lives we all lead, we too find it hard to find some quiet time alone with the Lord. But this is just so vital. Think of it a bit like your car. You can go so far in it, but every so often you have to call in the garage and top up with fuel. Well, so it is with our sustenance that we need from God. But unlike the example of the car, we just can't wait until we've done a few hundred miles. We need that re-energizing fuel from God every day. So the challenge is, whatever's going on around you, find that time to be with God. And when you're tempted to give up trying to do so, remember that even Jesus struggled to find time. But of course, he was distracted by the need to serve others, not himself. You know, I really do feel for the disciples. They're experiencing the worst kind of sea, the wind against them, and the short, choppy waves this often produces. How are we going to get out of this, they think. I'm sure, like me, there have been many times in your life when you've wondered if a situation you found yourself in would ever be positively resolved. Over the years, I've had to draw just so many times on my trust in God to have faith that all will be well. And many times in our life, we are faced with the reality that life is beyond our control. So how do we find the courage to continue? Well, sometimes all we can do is just simply step out in faith and just pray that we do the right thing. But then maybe, like Peter, we panic when we find ourselves in at the deep end. So who do you turn to when you need rescuing? You know, we can encourage each other to hold on to hope and keep faith when we find ourselves in at the deep end. But the biggest question is, are you prepared to step out in faith, knowing that through faith alone, God will protect, God will provide? You know, if we don't, we'll never know what God has in store for us. Think about it. Peter had enough faith to actually step out in faith, to do what Jesus asked him to do. And what a result. Remember how Matthew ends the account. He writes, "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were on the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" How fantastic to have that assurance. What a great sense of relief. As I said, we are called every day in one way or another to step out in faith. But I believe that there is a huge step that we are all being called to take. And that's the second major point that I want to bring to you today. And that is to bring others to faith. And of course, to do this, we have to take a huge step of faith. How do I start, you might ask? Who do I approach? Well, I can't answer that directly. But a good place to start is with family and friends. Well, you might say that's a huge risk. What if this causes us to fall out with them? Well, of course, Jesus warned us that this could happen. But almost everything we do has risks. We can't be certain of anything we do. Just think about it. How often have we set off with the certainty that what we plan to do will happen just as we expect, only to find something changes, something or indeed someone gets in the way? You know, there's only one certainty in life, and that is death. What a dreadful thought. But it is. So maybe this is a good place to start when we talk to people about faith. Bring them the good news of eternal life. But even here you could argue that what happens after death is uncertain. Well, that might be true for non-believers. But for believers, we have the promise of a new life after death, a heavenly one. But make no mistake, it really is hard to live the whole of our mortal lives trusting in what will happen after we've left this mortal shell. You know, it's not like we can compare notes with those who've already inherited the kingdom. We have to take everything on trust. And we call that trust faith. Faith is about being able to hold on to the image of a glorious future. But can we really live this life for something we hope for but cannot see? Can we really devote our time and energy to preparing for our heavenly home? Well, I have to say many millions of people have and continue to do so. Faith has always been the cornerstone of Christianity. Faith is the confidence that God will bless us when we step out in faith, with the biggest and best blessing of all being when we inherit our promised heavenly home. The beginning point of faith is believing in God, believing that he is who he says he is. And the end point is believing in God's promises, that he will do what he says. We believe that God will fulfill his promise, even though we can only imagine what that will be like. And we do that through living lives of faith. You know, when I was a teenager, not that long ago, of course, there was a popular song around with the title, Three Steps to Heaven. You know, in reality, the three steps to heaven are: step one, faith; step two, faith; and step three, faith. Throughout the history of our religion, it's faith which has driven the quest for the coming of the kingdom. Having a steadfast faith in God doesn't guarantee a happy, carefree life. On the contrary, our faith almost guarantees us some form of abuse from the world. We live in an evil world, filled with suffering, even for believers. Our faith and the values of this world are on a collision course. But we know that God will keep his promises to us. God is still in control. But while we are on earth, we may never see the purpose of the suffering. In the meantime, let us live lives of faith. Let us, like Peter, always be prepared to keep stepping out in faith as God calls each of us to serve him and his people. And just important to encourage others to also step out in faith. For as Paul writes, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. My dear friends, I ask you all to seek more time with the Lord, to pray for the courage you need to weather the storms in your own life, to ask for any help you need to hold on to hope when the wind seems against you. Think of Peter's leap of faith. Ask the Lord for the courage to step out in faith so that you can bring the good news to others. And pray for revival. More importantly, be part of that revival yourself. Amen. Well, given the context of today's gospel and our need to live lives of faith, I think it would be appropriate to close by singing, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" Let's sing, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life?" Let us pray. Lord, Peter only knew life as a fisherman, but he got out of the boat and followed you. Help us to hear your voice calling us to step out in faith and live lives of faith and bring others to faith by the lives we lead. In the week ahead, may the world and its problems decrease as you increase in our lives. Keep us focused on your way, looking ahead and trusting you. And so we go in love and peace to serve you, Lord, and your people. And we do so with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.